And Hoosier One is where we are trying to identify someone in our lives, maybe someone we work with, someone who's in our family, someone who's in our circle of influence who is what we would categorize as being far from God. And so when we think about evangelism, that's the first thing that comes to our mind. When I list my Hoosier One, I'm usually thinking about somebody who is not really in among us in the body today. And so when we think about that, when we think about evangelism, that's often who we think about. If I were to ask you, who is somebody who needs to hear the gospel today? Who's somebody who needs to know the truth about Jesus? Maybe people like this come to your mind. Maybe somebody who is in a country like Africa or another part of the world where they have little access to the gospel. Maybe you think about that's the kind of person that needs to hear about the gospel, and or somebody overseas in that 1040 window. And indeed they do. Some of you might think about someone today who is a drug addict, or maybe they're a prostitute and they sell their body to make a profit. And indeed, those people need to hear about the gospel that Jesus saves. But one of the most overlooked people, people who really need to hear the gospel, are good people. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to preach about or talk about today. When good people miss grace. Now, most of us that are here today, most people you meet on the street consider themselves good people. But listen, good people that I've been around all my life, there are good people that come to church. There are good people that hear Sunday school lessons. They know the words to the songs. They know Christian jargon. And yet they don't know Jesus. There's people out there that need to hear the truth. People can know an awful lot about the Bible. They can know the verses inside and out. And they don't know Jesus. That's how it is with the person I'm going to preach about today. This person that we're going to identify with today is probably somebody you've never seen yourself as today. Judas. Judas Iscariot is who I'm going to preach about today. I know the name is infamous. When's the last time you met somebody named Judas? I can't think of anybody I know named Judas. I can't ever recall doing a baby dedication and dedicating a Judas. Matter of fact, I don't even know anybody whose dog is named Judas. But here's what you may not know about Judas. You've let what you know about Judas frame some things that we don't really think about. Judas was a good man. He was a very good man. He was a good man who desperately needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? By all accounts, he looked like he had a relationship with God. But there was something missing on the inside. There was something broken in his life. And that's what I want to focus on today. That's what I want to talk about. Because Judas represents good people. People who know all about the church. They know all about what it is to do good things. They know how to pray. But they're not right with God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Good people can miss grace. So Matthew chapter 26 is where I've landed today. This will be a familiar story as we're in Easter reflections. Stories leading up to Easter. I want to start in verse 14, and I'm not going to read all the way through here. I'm going to pick out the verses that deal directly with Judas. And we're going to talk about this man named Judas throughout my remarks today. Pick up in verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, and he said, 'What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?' So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver for him. And from that time on, he started looking for a good opportunity to betray him." Now I want you to move down a little farther. Let's go to verse 20. This is a very familiar scene, the Last Supper. Verse 20, "When evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating," this is Jesus, "Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.'" Well, this sent shockwaves through all of them. Look at verse 22. "Deeply distressed, each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' And he replied, 'The one who dipped his hand with me in the bowl, he will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, man, these are chilling words, replied, "Surely not I, Rabbi." "You have said it," he told them. Then finally, one last section, verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. And a large mob with swords and clubs was with him from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given them a sign. "The one I kiss, he's the one. Arrest him." So he went right up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Verse 50. "Friend," Jesus asked him, "why have you come?" And then they came up and they took hold of Jesus and they arrested him. Father, I thank you for your holy word. Lord, these are familiar stories that we look at most every Easter season at some point in time. We understand how Judas betrayed you. What we often don't stop to think about is that Judas was, by all accounts, looked up to as a good man. He was a good man who missed grace. And so I pray today that your word would speak to our hearts. Lord, that if there's anyone here today that is holding on to anything other than Jesus Christ as their Savior, as what it is that's going to help them be right with you, help them to hear this message. Help us all to hear it, Lord, and to be moved as we think about who's your one. And not just think about people who are far from you, but sometimes we need to think about people who are close, people who are right next to us, people who we would never suspect, who desperately need the gospel, because we don't want anyone to miss grace. Will you please help me to preach this message today for your glory through the power of your Spirit? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, again, it's easy to look at the life of Judas Iscariot, the last part of his life, and make him the ultimate villain. That's the easy thing to do. After all, he'd betrayed Jesus. He's the one who betrayed the Savior of the world. And there's a lot behind that that we don't even have time to talk about today. But what I want to focus about is the fact that he was actually a very good man. He was a man that others looked up to, and no one would have suspected him to do this deed. Matter of fact, if Judas were alive today, he very likely would be seated next to you. He would be in a church service somewhere. He'd be singing the songs. He'd be raising his hand in praise. You know what? He very likely could be up here at this pulpit preaching. If you were to identify Judas today, it very likely could be me. Judas was a good man. Certainly he had a good upbringing. He had good parents who by all accounts seemed to be God-fearing. And they had a strong faith. At the very least, you could say they had high hopes for their son. And you know why I say that? Because of his name. Judas was a very spiritual name. Be like naming your child Daniel or Josiah today. The name, which again was a derivative of the name Judah, the tribe of Judah. It means praise. And so some people named their kids Jude. Actually, one of Jesus' siblings or half-siblings was named Jude. So Jesus' parents named their child after this name. And so he was named after a spiritual name. Some of us, we are privileged to grow up in Christian homes. Man, I thank God for my Christian heritage, my Christian parents and grandparents and upbringing. But you know what? I can't borrow their faith. I can't live off their faith. I can't live off that heritage. I have to choose to walk with Christ myself. And so grandma's faith is good enough for grandma, but it's not good enough for me. Amen? Judas was also a man who lived an outwardly moral life. After all, he was personally chosen by Jesus to be a disciple. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And something else about him, you may not have realized this, but he didn't appear to have any outward vices. Sometimes we laugh and kid about the other disciples. They're known for their shortcomings, right? So we know Peter is known for his impulsiveness and putting his foot in his mouth. We know that James and John were called the sons of thunder, so they had explosive tempers. We also know they were a little bit selfish, and probably their mom had a little bit to do with that. And then we know about Thomas, who was the doubter. We know about all these men that had shortcomings, but you know what? Not Judas. Judas was by all accounts an honorable man. He didn't have any vices or things that would make you think that this guy's really someone we ought to look at very suspiciously. Matter of fact, the disciples didn't look at him suspiciously. They trusted him like no one else in that group of the 12. You know how I know that? Because they chose him to handle the money. Listen, I don't care who you are, what organization you're in, you're going to trust whoever handles the money. Now, they may let you down, but you don't pick a person who's shady to handle the money. You don't have them do that role or that task if you don't have confidence in their character. You pick the best person, the most trustworthy, the one you can count on, the one you can trust. And so if there's anything that you need to understand about Judas today, it's that by all accounts, he was a good man. He was a man that seemed to follow God and have it all together. Do you realize that sometimes we can look like we have it all together, but we don't have it all together? Do you realize that sometimes you can look like you're really active and involved in church and still miss grace? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, I know that's shocking. That's not a popular message. It's not something that we like to hear. We don't even like to preach it. But it's true. And we need to talk about it when we talk about the life of Judas. So here's where I'm going with this message today. This is where we get into the outline. How is it that good people miss Jesus? How does someone grow up in church and hear maybe a Bible preaching church and hear the message? How is it that they sing in the choir or deliver a message or teach a Sunday school class and miss grace? That's what we're going to talk about today. This is where we have to identify with Judas. I believe there are at least three. There may be more, but there are three reasons that I've identified why Judas missed grace. And they're the same reasons why good people miss grace. Good people who are around us today who are still lost in their sins, they miss the grace that Jesus offers. And so I want you to write these down, if you will, if you're taking notes today, in your outline on your bulletin. Number one. I'm going to have to give you these, aren't I? Oh, they're going to, I know it. I know what he's done. Steve, you're messing with me today. I saw, where's the blank? The blinks. Okay, good people miss grace. You're going to love this. When they fail to deal with the things in their hearts that will ultimately destroy them. See what's happening there? Now you know why I'm freaking out. I didn't know where the fill in blanks were. Good people miss grace because they fail to... Now listen, this is serious. I got to stop kidding. When they fail to deal with the things in their hearts that will ultimately destroy them. You see, coming to faith in Jesus Christ is a matter of the heart. Jesus wants to clean your heart up. Now, he wants to clean your life up. He wants to change the very directory, the very direction of your life, the trajectory of your life. But it starts here. We need new hearts. After all, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, he said, can you put that up there, 15 verse 19? I'm struggling today. Just one of those days. They worked me too hard yesterday. I'm going to turn to it. Matthew 15, verse 9. There it is. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immorality, thefts, false testimonies, and slander. So you see there, we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. The source of life. Listen, Judas had some things in his heart that were very unhealthy. And he failed to deal with the matters that were in his heart. Now listen, I'm not saying that grace is not perfection. Grace is not sinless perfection. Some of you probably still struggle with things in your heart. But are you letting the Lord touch your heart, deal with your heart, and change your heart? That's what we're talking about here. Now, what is it that Judas struggled with? These may not be your struggles, or they may be your struggles, but they'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about right now, okay? So Judas struggled, first of all, with jealousy. First bullet point is jealousy. He failed to deal with a jealous heart. Why do I say he was jealous? Well, I did a little research on his name. Not his first name. We know what it means, but his last name. Iscariot. That means that he came from Kirioth, which is a town in the southern part of Judea. By the way, the rest of the disciples, they came from a place called Galilee. They were Galileans. In fact, they could tell they were Galileans by their accent. We found out later on. So they're from a different part of Israel. So Judas is naturally an outsider. Some of you may feel like an outsider today. Maybe some of you in school, you wish you fit in better with the in group. Or you wish you were in another group. Or you just wish that person would pay attention to you. And if that continues to fester, you feel like the odd person out. You feel like you don't fit in. You're not part of the inner circle. Don't you know that Judas, he was a leader. They trusted him with the money, but he wasn't one of the inner three. Don't you see that he wished that he could be like Peter or James or John? Remember how they talked about, and this wasn't healthy what the rest of them were doing, but how they talked about who was the greatest? Man, I wonder who's going to be at his right hand or his left hand when he ascends to the kingdom. And that's talking about Jesus. And so I bet Judas got caught up in that. And I think that Judas struggled with jealousy. He wished that he could have a certain role or a certain place. And slowly but surely that grew into envy. And that grew to unhealthy levels. And I know that Satan fueled it. But Judas allowed it. He was part of it. He wouldn't deal with it in his heart. Think about this. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, it says, "A tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones." Judas failed to deal with jealousy. And then second, he failed to deal with bitterness. That jealousy over time came into bitterness, became bitter. And again, it doesn't take a lot to see how Judas let his bitterness or jealousy turn to bitterness. "These guys don't appreciate me. They don't know what I do day in and day out, keeping up with all these finances. Really, I'm the glue that keeps this whole unit together. And Jesus doesn't even pay any attention to me half the time." And he let these feelings become bitter feelings. He felt like he was missing out on what he deserved. He needed to take his heart and have his heart changed by God. By the way, you and I need that too. We need healthy hearts. What's your heart like today? Deep inside, what is your heart like? And I'm not talking about your physical heart. Now, God gives us a physical heart, and it needs to remain healthy. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. Do you have a healthy heart? Or is it filled with junk? Are there things in your heart that you wouldn't want anybody in this church to know about? You know what? You need to let God know about them. You need to talk to God about your heart. You need to pray to God, "Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God." Because listen, what it means to have a healthy heart physically is true on the spiritual realm as well. And so, listen, this is something I don't have in my notes, but you might want to write this down. A healthy heart spiritually is ruled by God's Spirit and not our flesh. To have a healthy heart spiritually, it's ruled by the Spirit of God and not by your fleshly desires. That's the power of the Spirit-filled life. That's the fruit of the Spirit, which is opposed or contrasting to the works of the flesh. And so he failed to deal with jealousy. Then he failed to deal with bitterness. And thirdly, you know what that led to? Anger. And it was the anger that destroyed him. The anger that was in his heart. That jealousy that became bitterness became toxic anger. Now there's good and righteous anger. Do you know you can be angry and not sin? It's what the Bible says. Jesus had righteous anger and he didn't sin in his anger. But this is not that kind of anger. This is toxic anger. The kind of anger that'll destroy you if you let it. And so you say, well, what in the world did Judas have to be angry about? Well, I believe, and I just want to pose this to you, that Judas was very perceptive. He was probably one of the first disciples to really catch on. The other disciples didn't want to believe it, but Judas believed it. Judas knew it was true. You see, Judas was also a zealot. You've probably read that in some of the descriptions about Judas, which meant that he was a revolutionary. He was really into politics. He really wanted to overthrow the current government that he was under, the Roman government. You see, he saw Jesus as a political savior, a political Messiah. He was someone who could deliver them from Roman rule. They'd been under that grip for so long and they wanted out of it so badly. And they thought, man, these scriptures prophesy a Messiah who's coming who will restore the glory of Israel like it was in David's day or like it was in Solomon's day. And that's what he was looking for. And so he started to follow Jesus. Now again, he heard the teaching. He saw the miracles. He heard what Jesus said, just like they all did. And Jesus said some really rough things. One of the things Jesus said was that, you know what? Evil men are going to put me to death, but I'm going to rise again the third day. Most of these guys put it out of their mind. What did Peter say? Old foot in his mouth, Peter said, no, that's not going to happen to you. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. He said, no, that's not the will of the Father. And I'm going to follow the will of the Father. Well, Judas was all ears. He heard these conversations. And Judas was bothered by this. But I think the straw that broke the camel's back happened in John chapter 12. Now, you don't have to turn there right now. You can just listen. But there was a woman there. And it was in Bethany. And they were on their way to Jerusalem. And they knew that it was dangerous in Jerusalem. Jesus could be killed. People wanted his hide in Jerusalem. And so what happened there that night is this woman broke an alabaster jar filled with an expensive perfume and anointed Jesus with it. And if you read that account, you'll see that all the disciples grumbled about that. But who was the one who spoke up that time? Judas. And he spoke up and he said, I can't believe that this perfume was wasted when the money could have been given to the poor. Now, we know that wasn't his true motive. John says as much in that account. But I think something else happened to him at that point. I think that's the point where he realized, you know what? This guy means business. His kingdom is not going to come right now. He really is going to go and die. He's really serious about this. And he became jaded. He became angry. I've walked with him for 3.5 years. I've given up my life, my career, to follow this fraud. He's not going to rescue us from Rome. It's going to be just like it always has been before. And he got mad. And he was angry. And he was disappointed. And basically, it was at that point that he decided, I'm going to betray him. Now, I've also heard people saying this, there could be some validity to it, that he also betrayed him to force his hand, to make him show who he was, thinking that maybe he will. Because I think there was a measure of faith, but it wasn't saving faith. And so he got angry. And so, again, that's what you need to grasp here. The first point, we need to guard our hearts. Don't let your heart go down that road. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, I love this, says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. So again, that's the first thing that happened. He failed to deal with the matters of his heart. Secondly, good people miss grace when they fail to heed the clear warnings that ought to deeply convict them. Judas heard warnings from Jesus. In fact, Judas heard the greatest teaching and preaching you could ever hear. There's nobody here today that can hold a candle to Jesus. And so, again, it's not just the junk that's in his heart. It's the gunk that's in his ears. He won't hear the message. He won't hear. It is his heart. He hardened his heart to the message that Jesus preached. Again, for 3+ years, he'd heard Jesus preach and teach on a variety of subjects. He'd heard Jesus teach and preach about his position in the kingdom. But he'd also heard him preach about hell. He'd heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount. He'd heard the Olivet and the Upper Discourses. And he'd heard Jesus even speak to him directly, warning him. And the warnings fell on deaf ears. Like John chapter 6 and verse 70. Have I not chosen you? Yet one of you is going to betray me. And John chapter 13 and verse 10. Now that was said, by the way, long before they were in the upper room. You are not all clean. Listen, he was speaking to Judas. And Judas knew who he was speaking to. And he ignored the warnings. Let me suggest 3 specific warnings that Judas needed to hear, that good people who miss grace today need to hear. Judas failed to hear Jesus' warnings about hypocrisy. Again, He'd heard the Sermon on the Mount. He'd heard that there would be tares among the wheat, that parable that Jesus told. He'd heard Jesus Pharisees severely and harshly. He'd heard Jesus teach about the four different kinds of soil and that we ought to be good soil in our hearts and we ought to bear fruit for the kingdom. He'd been called by Jesus to be a disciple. Literally, this man went out with others and preached about the kingdom of heaven. And he actually healed people as well. I believe he healed people along with the other disciples. And he did it all along as a hypocrite, knowing that he really didn't believe, that he really didn't know the Messiah. Here he is, knowing what's in his heart, and he chimes right in with the other disciples. You see that there, back in verse 20? Is it I? Is it, surely not I, Lord. And here's Judas in verse 25. Surely not I, Rabbi. Can you imagine the hypocrisy? Now listen, we live in a region of the country where there is still a lot of religion being practiced, right? There's a lot of churches around Lebanon. There's a lot of churches in session day. There's a lot of full churches all around us today. But there are a lot fewer people whose lives have truly been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God, by the saving power of God. Now, I'm not accusing anybody. I know I'm saying a harsh word, but I'm just telling you, we need to do a little assessment. Have you truly been changed? Have you truly heard the warnings? Have you truly dealt with your heart? Something else that he didn't deal with was warnings about greed. Warnings about greed. We know that Judas was a greedy man. We heard what happened in John chapter 12. But you know, he'd heard Jesus teach about covetousness. He'd heard Jesus say some fascinating things, some convicting things. Like in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He heard him say, Matthew chapter 6, 24. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Again, in John chapter 12, it says he used to regularly help himself to the till. So he had a problem with greed. And they had a meager treasury, by the way. It's not like he was getting filthy rich off that. But he justified it in his heart. He felt like he deserved it, like he was right in doing that. And that just reminds me that he actually betrayed him. Now, you may not have thought about this before. Y'all know it, though. For 30 pieces of silver. You know what? How much money that is? Not a lot of money at all. I think in today's times, it might be a little less than $20. Actually, I was reading, and one commentator said that 30 pieces of silver is what it would take for a slave's wage. Like if a slave had been gored by an ox, and it was your ox that did it, and you had to pay that slave owner for that, that's what you would pay them, 30 pieces of silver. That's what he betrayed Jesus for. He had a problem, and he failed to hear Jesus' warnings about greed. But thirdly, Judas failed to hear his warnings about hell. That's probably the most serious of all. He failed to hear what Jesus had to say about hell. You know, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. What he said about hell ought to wake us up. It ought to convict our hearts. It ought to help us want to get right. Jesus taught about the rich man and Lazarus. He taught that hell is a very real place. It's an always place. It's an awful place. It's a place where there's no returning. There's not an intermediary position. You go to hell and you're there forever, where the worm doesn't die and the fire doesn't go out. He went on to say, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it's better to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. That's in Matthew chapter 5, 29 and 30. And in Matthew 10, verse 28, he said, don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Can you imagine how convicting Jesus' teaching was? You know, sometimes today we want to preach messages that are feel good, and we never want to preach convicting things. I don't like to preach convicting messages, but Jesus sure did. And I'd better do what Jesus did. I'd better follow Jesus' plan as I preach and teach the Word of God. But we're talking about Judas today. And Judas ignored his heart. And he failed to heed the warnings that Jesus would bring up often in his preaching and teaching. You know what I think about Judas? I think Judas could really fall into the pattern of a lot of good people who go to church today. And this is what I'm going to say. And again, this is not easy, but it's what I've got to say today. The Lord put it on my heart. Judas really didn't want to serve Jesus. He wanted Jesus to serve him. And that makes all the difference in the world. Folks, when we come to Christ, His grace is free, but we've got to surrender our lives to Him. He is to be our Savior and our Lord. And again, we don't do that perfectly. I'm not saying I do it perfectly. But we've got to want to surrender to Him. And that's what Judas didn't want to do. Well, you see here in verse 47, we've already read what's happened. The act itself didn't take very long. But the after effects drove him to such remorse. Such remorse. Almost immediately, he was sorry that he had done it. So let's pick up. And I didn't read this earlier. But in chapter 27 in verse 1, we see what happens after he had done it. Sometime between midnight and daybreak. That's just a few hours. Remorse fell all over Judas. Verse 1, chapter 27. When daybreak came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. After tying him up, they led him away and they handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was full of remorse. Now, I don't know what translation you have. You may have a translation that talks about how Judas repented. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. That is an older translation. I think remorse, filled with remorse, is a better word, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But Judas was full of remorse. He was sorry for what he had done. And he tried to make it right. He even tried to make right the wrong he had done. Look what he did. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to those chief priests and elders. Look at what he says. Can you just hear the anguish in his voice in verse 4? I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And he meets a stone wall. What does that matter to us? See to that yourself. So he threw the silver into the sanctuary and departed. And here's the most tragic part of this story. Then he went and hanged himself. This is the third thing I want you to see today. And this is the most important. Good people miss grace when they fail to turn to the only one who can save them. The only one who can save them. You see, again, it didn't take long for Judas's conscience to bother him after he had done this. He was so smitten by jealousy and anger that he became an evil man. The Bible literally says that Satan entered him. And he went out and he did an evil act. He betrayed the Son of God. But he was also a man who had been around the Lord. And the devil didn't stay in his heart forever. I think the devil left him at that point. And he became remorseful very quickly. And he was eaten up with guilt and shame. And he thought, what on earth have I done? So, I like what somebody says, if at midnight he wanted to see Jesus die, by sunrise he had completely changed his mind. And isn't that how it works? Whenever the devil really works on you and begins to work on your emotions and your heart, and you don't deal with it, and you've talked yourself into something, you've justified it. You just know that it's right for you. You're different than anyone else. You haven't done that deed for minutes, hours, and you know it's wrong. And your conscience begins to work on you. And that's where he is. And he says, what in the world have I done? He's overwhelmed. He's filled with remorse. He wants to make it right somehow. What could he do? Well, the first thing he tried to do, he was remorseful, but he turned to the wrong remedy. He turned to the remedy that many people turn to today. He recognized what he'd done. And he wanted to go to somebody that would ease his conscience to make him feel better. He wanted to do something. Do an act to make it better. If I can just give this money back to them, that'll undo what I've done. I can wash my hands of this. But they couldn't care less. What happened is he sought the wrong remedy. He went to the wrong authority. These religious leaders couldn't make him right. You know, sometimes people think if I just go to a church, if I give money to a church, if I get baptized in a church, that'll make it right. All that I've done wrong in my life. You know, that reminds me of what it says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. Second, Judas tried to make things right, but he found no relief. That's why I want to distinguish between what it says in the older translations, that he repented. You see, there's a type of repentance where there's no relief. And so he was filled with remorse, but he didn't have the relief, the sweet cleansing. Oh, I hope everyone that's hearing me today knows that sweet cleansing, what it feels like to be forgiven of your sins. And again, we don't base our salvation on a feeling, but you can feel cleansed. You can feel that feeling of relief come over you, that season of refreshing. You know, again, Judas is not unlike many people today. They want to numb the pain. They just want it to go away. And that's why some people avoid church. They don't want to feel guilty. They want to feel better. But again, they seek out the wrong remedy. Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly grief produces death. And so that's what was happening. He had death being produced in his heart, because he didn't have any answers for his sin. See, what's sad about Judas is Judas shows us how close someone can come to heaven and still be lost. That's why I've got to preach this today. It's clear in the Word of God there are some people who can come very close to heaven and still be lost. You know, that's exactly what happened to that rich young ruler. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, I've kept all these things. There's one thing you haven't done. And he went away remorseful. Now, unless he changed his mind later and repented and truly came to Christ, he didn't receive the salvation that he was searching for. This was Judas's biggest failure. Not only had he heard his powerful teaching on sin, he'd heard Jesus's teaching on how you can be forgiven. He'd heard John 3:16. He'd heard John chapter 14 and verse 6. He'd heard the great passage about the good shepherd in John 10, 1 to 18. But he'd never truly received forgiveness. If only he'd repented and believed in Jesus and asked Jesus to cleanse him of his sins, he would have been forgiven. So Judas's life is a warning. It's a warning to religious people. Judas was as close to Jesus, I would contend, as anyone who'd ever lived. He'd heard the gospel from the lips of the author and finisher of our faith. He'd witnessed Jesus' love and grace in action every day. He'd seen the power of God that only a handful of people have ever seen on this earth. He'd heard the truth, seen the truth, and even verbally acknowledged it. Yet Judas died and went to hell because he failed to believe the truth. I want to just share a couple of quick stories and then I'm finished today, okay? I'll be finished with the sermon today. This is going to take it up to modern times. I heard a man's testimony several years ago. This is a man that I knew and that I respected. And he'd been a leader in a local church. Not here, but in another place where I was serving. He had served in the church. He'd been a deacon. He'd even been a Sunday school teacher. He'd actually even preached on occasion. But he'd never been born again. He talks about how he had gone to college at a Christian college, done all these things. But there was a point in his life where he realized that, this is his words, I was a second Judas. This is how it all unfolded. He and his wife went to a marriage retreat. And so this was a Christian retreat. And the leaders had all the husbands and wives get together. And one of the things he had them do is he asked them to share their testimony with one another. And while they were sharing their testimonies, he realized he didn't have a testimony. He didn't have a story. He was a good, religious, successful man. But he didn't know the Lord. Well, it wasn't long after that that God continued to work on his heart and he opened his heart to the Lord and he gave his life to Christ and he was truly saved. He was born again, as the Bible says, as Jesus said. But listen, it wasn't easy for him. Could you imagine going back to your church and telling people that? Could you imagine being baptized? People thought he was already saved, but he did it because he had to face his own self-deception. He had to face his own heart. He had to face his own guilt. And when he did, he was wonderfully converted by the Spirit of God. Another lady, a young lady that I knew several years ago, she actually came when we were working in a summer missionary project. We were with our youth group. Gina will remember this several years ago. And this was in Branson. And she was a summer missionary down there working for Tri-County Missions. And Nadine Gold, I know you know her, Stephen. And so this young lady had been, she was a college student in Tennessee. And she comes and so she's working with us during the day. And so we would have devotions each night with our youth group. And so one night she gave the devotion. And she talked about the fact that when she was 6 years of age, she was baptized in her Baptist church. And she grew up in that church, very active in the church, went to Sunday school. She was also very active in her youth group, a leader in the youth group. She went to a Christian college in Tennessee. She looked the part. She knew all the right answers. But deep down, she was lost. And man, the Lord began to convict her heart of that. And so she says, this is her own story. She says, when I was 6 years old, I was led in a prayer, but I was only saying the words. I didn't mean it in my heart. I continued to live my church life through high school and even my first year of college. She said, I was a good girl, but I knew I wasn't right with the Lord. She said, finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. And so what I did is I went to my campus pastor. This was at a Christian college, and gave my heart and life to the Lord. She said, you know what? I was scared about what people might think back home about the prospect of my being baptized. But then I realized that that was just between me and God. And you know, that's really what I want to end with today, is that what we're talking about today is really just between you and God. Nobody else knew what was going on in Judas's mind, in his heart, in his life, but God knew. And God knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my life. And the gospel is not, Judas, you're a good man. You've got nothing to worry about. You've lived your life well. Man, you keep the money for us. You don't need, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. You don't need Jesus. No, the gospel is repent and believe. You must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus? That's something we've got to reflect on when we reflect on the Easter story. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Again, this is not an easy message, but this is a very scriptural message. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that there will come a day when people will say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I don't want to embarrass anybody right now. You know me. I'm not big on having people raise their hands or anything like that, but I am very interested in your heart. And right now, as we get ready to sing a closing song, will you do a little introspection? Now, again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have assurance. We should have assurance. I believe in the assurance of our salvation. But if there's anybody here today and you have any doubts or questions, maybe somebody watching online, wouldn't you want to just nail it down today? Man, eternity is too long. It's too important to continue to live a facade. Even if it's somebody who's in a leadership role, man, may today be the day that you really get right. You really give your heart over to Christ. Because salvation is all about coming to Christ, surrendered, broken, sick and tired of what's in your heart and in your life and the things in your life that are unpleasing to Him. You know you're lost. You know you're separated. You know there's no hope for you. And you receive His free grace. Oh, I'm so thankful His grace is free. I don't have to undo anything to be saved and be right with the Savior. But I do need to give my life over to Him. I need to surrender to Him. I need to make Him my Savior and my Lord and follow Him. Lord, I thank You so much that You did come to this earth and You died for each and every one of us. You died for Judas. That grace was available to him if he would have received it. Lord, we get so conflicted and so messed up in this life. Different things happen, and sometimes maybe another person that's out there might think, well, I've done too much. There's no way You could forgive me. I'm not sure I can forgive myself. I think that Judas was kind of in that boat. But we can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can be free through what You've done and through what You will do if we'll receive You and come to You and surrender to You. Thank You, Lord, for the gospel. Thank You for the true gospel that we read in Your word. We see it in the stories that surround Easter and the resurrection, but we see it in the letters and in every part of the word of God. We see grace. My prayer is that everyone here today and all those listening online would receive that grace. May Your will be done in this time as we lift You up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to come stand up now to your feet as I come down here to the altar. We're going to close out with this song, I Speak Jesus. It's a powerful song, but it's even more powerful when you know Jesus in your heart. You come if you need to pray.